Legendary television news anchor Walter Cronkite died Friday night at the age of 92. The venerable newsman is best known for his work as the anchor of the CBS Evening News from 1962 to 1981. Mark Weissenmiller is a Tampa Bay Area-based reporter who works for Agence France-Presse and the British-based Economist magazine. He's also the author last year of a biography on newscaster Chet Huntley, who, as part of the Huntley-Brinkley Report, was one of the direct competitors of Walter Cronkite throughout the 1960s. In fact, as Weissenmiller discusses, Cronkite and the CBS Evening News did not become the news rating leader until 1970.
Two major ones reasons are, the first reason was the fact that neither Huntley or Brinkley had a real interest in the space program. Huntley believed it was basically glorified mechanics, glorified engineers. Brinkley believed, and perhaps somewhat justifiably, that it was a subject that was too technical for him. But Cronkite, who interestingly actually failed elementary physics while a student at the University of Texas, sort of basically took over and became the person, the anchor man that Americans watch for space shots.
Walter Cronkite got a start as a print reporter for the United Press International and covered a lot of action overseas in World War II. He covered Normandy, the Siege of London, the North African campaign, as well as the Nuremberg trial for UPI. It was also around this time, I guess, that he was actually turned down an offer by Edward R. Murrow to work for CBS Radio to stay working in print at that time.
Yes, because UPI actually was, and I guess we could still say still is, known for paying their editors and reporters at a very elementary level. But Cronkite was paid fairly well. And Murrow, as you said, offered Cronkite a job, but it was the United Press back then, actually gave him a substantial raise, at least by Newswire standards, and he decided to stay with UP until, I believe, about 1950 is when he went to CBS.
And, of course, although he didn't begin anchoring the evening news until 62, he began anchoring the convention coverage in the 1950s.
As has been mentioned prominently throughout all the coverage since Mr. Cronkite had died, the term anchorman was pretty much invented for him by the legendary producer Don Hewitt, who your listeners may know or remember as the major producer, the major creator of 60 Minutes. But before he did 60 Minutes, he was the major producer for CBS News. He worked with Edward R. Murrow. And it occurred to Cronkite and Hewitt that they needed to come up with some sort of term for this position, because he couldn't just call them news broadcaster because he was there in the seat for hours. So it occurred to Hewitt that this position would sort of be the equivalent to the last person who runs in track meets as far as relay races is concerned. And that position is called the anchor man or anchor woman, depending on, of course, on the gender. Yes. So Hewitt said, let's call this position the anchor man. And now it's a position that is very much probably will forever be mated with Cronkite.
Right. Again, we're speaking with reporter Mark Weissenmiller, a Tampa Bay area-based reporter who also works for The Economist magazine. He wrote a biography last year on Chet Huntley, one of the main competitors for Walter Cronkite back in the 1960s before Huntley stepped down in 1970 or so. Of course, another thing that we've seen a lot over the coverage this weekend, and which is really significant, is when he kind of stepped out of the omniscient objective voice. Of course, the historic coverage of the JFK assassination in 1963. Of course, today, 40 years ago today, the landing on the moon, he was certainly a really big, as you mentioned earlier, proponent of the space program. And then, of course, the famous documentary on Vietnam and his commentary at the very end where he said the war was unwinnable. Those moments seem to be the ones that distinguish him in terms of what he did in the 60s to make him a little bit bigger than just a guy who was on television a lot.
Yes, and that's a good point, Mitch, that we remember those points because for that very reason he was so objective. For those of us who went through UP training or UPI training, you are trained at a very early point to be as objective and as fair as possible. All sides must be presented. And Cronkite very much believed that. The reasons we remember these moments are he obviously stepped out of the objective anchorman position and gave his opinion.
Of course, it's been known, if anybody's paid attention, that Walter Cronkite, since he stepped down in 1882, a very liberal man. He's basically talked a lot about that. In fact, some of the right wing, who always think that there's a liberal bias in the media, said, aha, when Walter Cronkite used to talk about that. But he always said that was never part of how he did his job. And I think that's most people can fairly say that. But what you say is that he was actually an ardent environmentalist, and he shaped a lot of that movement, as it were, in terms of some of his regular coverage on the CBS Evening News.
Yes, very much so. And again, you mentioned all the wall-to-wall coverage you have seen over the past weekend. Your listeners have probably seen on TV or maybe even heard on radio the fact that he was an avid sailor. And he started this in the mid-1960s. In regards to environmentalism, his sailing and time on the seas made him more environmentally conscious, shall we say. And during the week of Earth Day 1970 on the CBS Evening News, he and one of the CBS producers, a gentleman named Ron Bond, produced a series called Can This Earth Be Saved? And it won many Emmy Awards, and it became very popular. And each particular day, if I remember my research correctly, it ran about 3 or 5 days, and each particular day was devoted to either air cleanliness, water, ground, soil cleanliness, what have you. It was very thorough. And it won many Emmys, and it basically served as a catalyst, almost as public relations for Earth Day. And once all this became popular, sort of snowballed, and the environmentalism movement really began to take off in the early 1970s.
You also have brought us a copy today. We're looking at Walter Cronkite was on the cover of Time magazine, October 14th, 1966, on an issue about television news overall. It's called The Electronic Front Page. It's a subtitle with Cronkite. And this is in 1966. So in the mid-60s, he was obviously back in the day to get on the cover of Time magazine was always a huge issue. This is a man who's becoming a cultural icon in the mid-60s, even before Vietnam or some of the other major things that happened in that decade.
Very much so. And even to this day, it's very rare that a newsman will be the subject of a cover story for Time magazine. I believe Murrow was sometime in the late 50s. And I know that Dan Rather was when he took over the position after Walter Cronkite retired.